When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are once again playing as Sir Croakington, and we're in the ruined village of Stonegap. And there's a little bit of a description for that place. And we go here before we go on the adventure. Destroyed during a globbing raid nearly 2 centuries ago. Oh, the town of Stonegap has never been rebuilt. The long deserted settlement situated on the eastern shore of Lake Ebbark was once home to a small but powerful conclave of wizards known as the Gate Wardens, but apparently not that powerful if the goblins destroyed it. Or maybe they were elsewhere at the time, probably warding some sort of gate. Only heaps of rubble and debris scattered amidst the foliage of the encroaching forest remain to mark where Stonegap's buildings once stood. And there's a law book entry for Stonegap. Let's read that. Oh, Stonegap, only small heaps of rubble and debris scattered amidst the foliage of the encroaching forest remain to mark the mark where the town of Stonegap once stood. Destroyed during a goblin raid nearly 2 centuries ago, Stonegap has never been rebuilt. The long deserted settlement, situated on the eastern shore of Lake Ebrak, was once home to a small but powerful conclave of wizards known as the Gate Wardens. So that's pretty much, that's the exact information again, but just in a slightly different order. Okay, adventures for this location. Leaving Stonegap. It's early afternoon, and you're on your way out of Stonegap. You know, just appreciating the ruins and the nice foliage. You know, just having a wander around. Start the adventure. Here we go. So begins leaving Stonegap. While hopefully passing through the outskirts of Stonegap, not about to tarry in the eerie ruins of the long deserted town, you happen upon a curious scene. Moving slowly towards you along the same stretch of road that will carry you past the ruins is a young man, his back bent beneath what appears to be a tremendous load contained within a leather pack. The lanky stranger looks up as he draws near, but his expressionless face bears not even the faintest hint of emotion. Maybe there's something going on, or maybe he just has a resting gnoll face. Suddenly, your heart leaps into your throat when the flesh suddenly slivers off the young man's face, leaving behind only a grim, leering visage carved out of the stark white bone. As you stand, almost frozen in space, stunned by the gruesome transformation, but not that stunned. I think I've seen this happen. I think she's seen this happen a few times before. A strange feeling washes over you. It lasts for only a few moments, but leaves you feeling drained. And by that I mean the Neville Reserve has gone down to 1. Blimey. So, In the next fight, you won't be able to rely on healing or blasting. Well, healing with magic, you've still got the quick stone. and the Krepek elixirs, and the Hellblade, and the Krepek leaves, and the post-battle restoration. Okay, it's probably not that difficult, but definitely removes the easiest way for you to heal yourself up. The skeleton straightens up, allowing the plaque to slide off its back and onto the ground. Hissing softly, the undead fiend draws a sword and lunges at you. This is a skeletal warrior. Skeletal warrior. And so on. So on, but you know, even more terrible so it doesn't break copyright. Although I don't know if there's anyone around anymore who could even claim copyright for that. Begin combat. The skeleton slashes at you, the sort of skeletons are wont to do, apparently. I mean, I've not seen any skeletons slash at me with their swords, but admittedly it's kind of hard to get a sword nowadays. I mean, maybe if swords were more available, they'd do it, but most of the skeletons kind of just sit in the ground, just lie on the ground, being all lazy. Having naps. Very, very long naps. Rather than getting work done. Lazy bums. The skeleton slashes. I swing the club. Keep going. And I go into a battle rage. Hey! Stop disguising yourself as someone who is alive. It's dishonest. You're slaying your friend. Also, you're trying to kill me. But honestly, that happens so often. I've really stopped even caring about that anymore. 27 XP. With its final ragged hiss rising into the air, the skeleton collapses into a heap of splintered bone. You step back from the remains of the undead menace and exhale sharply. Quickly surveying your surroundings, you determine, much to your relief, that nothing else seems to be stirring in the overgrown ruins of Stone Gap. You open the pack your foe was carrying and surprised to find it contains only rocks and dirt. Or at least something that looks like rocks and dirt. But of course, illusion magic exists, so maybe not. Then you hear it. The sound of movement from the nearby forest causes. Nearby forest reaches your ears cautiously with your every sense alert. You move in what you believe to be the direction from which the sound is coming. As you near a large, overgrown heap of rubble near the forest edge, you suddenly spot three figures lurking beneath the trees. The Wagchad Cleo, their backs to you, appear to be digging a hole next to the base of a towering oak. Two of the three figures are using shovels, while a third, whose bearded face you can now plainly see, is leaning against the tree and peering down into the hole. Though they appear to be human, the encounter with the skeleton reminds you that appearances can most certainly be deceiving. So I've got three options here. Use divination and my very last piece of Neville Reserve to try to get some sort of vibes about what's going on here. Approach the toiling Cheerio or continue to observe them from a distance. Okay, I'm going to use divination just because it's there and it won't actually force me to make a choice. Well, usually it doesn't. Use divination. It failed. You channel your power of divination, but unable to sense anything definitive regarding the Wagged Trio. I used random.org to tell me what to do. It rolled a 1, so that's the first option. Approach the figures. You slowly and cautiously make your way towards the three figures. Picking a number, bonus of 50. 20 from woodmanship, 20 from agility, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more, or something bad will happen, presumably. Pick now. 139, success. You steal forwards. Steal forward through the forest and manage to move up undetected behind the three figures. Now only a few yards from you, you easily discern the three figures are men. Suddenly, the two digging figures cast their shovels aside and kneel at the edge of the hole. One of them, his human face now clearly visible, reaches down and retrieves what appears to be a small wooden box. He places the box into a cloth sack and then, upon regaining his feet, he and his two cohorts begin turning in your direction. You quickly realise it will only be a matter of moments before you are discovered. So I've got two options. Remain where I am, which if there's something sinister going on, that will place me in trouble. But if it's just, it's actually just three humans who just happen. Just three regular, normal people who just happen to be retrieving something. Retrieving something there. Maybe they heard about a treasure in the village or something. Or maybe they just hid something here while they... Well, for various reasons. Maybe to just hide it from a loan shark. Plenty of reasons to bury something. Or maybe it's a time capsule they put down when they were children. And they promised that they'll dig it up in 50 years' time. And you know. You know, they've done it. But I'm about 60% sure they're skeletons. Anyway, random.org, tell me what to do. Number two. So, I'm going to attempt to hide. You wholly attempt to conceal yourself in the undergrowth. Pick your number. Bonus of 40. 20 from woodmanship, 10 from agility, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more, or I will be spotted. Pick now! 92, success. Lying prone in the dense undergrowth, which is admittedly a lot easier for Sir Croakington than for others. One, because she's green. And two, because she's very small. Okay, and three, she's a toad, so even if someone saw her, they might not even really notice there's anything up. I guess she just used a little bit of illusion to hide all the equipment. You watch as the three men move past you. Come within only a few feet of your hiding place. They look at Sir Croakington several times, but they only see a regular toad, so they don't even notice. After several long, agonising minutes, the slow-moving trio has disappeared into the thick of the surrounding forest. Confident that you're no longer in any immediate danger of being discovered, you return to your feet and wipe away the damp foliage, now clinging to nearly every piece of your attire. Suddenly, the sound of something moving up from behind sets your every nerve on edge. You spin to face what you instinctively perceive to be an encroaching threat, only to have your eyes greeted by an empty forest scene. Picking a number! Bonus of 50. 20 from woodmanship, 20 from aura, 10 from luck. Got to get 75 or more, or be ambushed or something? Who knows? Or notice something? I mean, that's always usually the notice things thing. So I think I have to get 75 or more to notice something before it notices me. Or before it bonks me on the head. Pick now. 140, success. As if guided by a sixth sense, and perhaps a seventh, eighth and ninth sense as well. Because of course there's way more than five senses. It's just... We've arbitrarily, for some reason, decided that there's only five that count. As if guided by a sixth sense, your eyes suddenly dart up into the sturdy boughs of a nearby oak. There, perched on one of the towering hardwood's broad arms, is a hide-clad cave goblin. It's only a goblin. I'm perfectly used to dealing with goblins. Nothing to concern myself with. His clawed hand clutching a short length of thick rope. Instinctively realising the wicked creature's murderous intentions, well, of course. that is usually how goblins act, or at least the goblins that interact with humanity act. Presumably there's vast tribes of mostly peaceful goblins that hiding deep in the mountains, not causing anyone any particular trouble. It's just that whenever humans turn up, they usually are trying to, you know, kill them and take their stuff. Yeah, and then kill them some more. So they kind of have to do a bit of murdering. Also, dark gods keep trying to control them. Or something like that. Immediately realising the wicked creature's murderous intentions, you fall back and draw yourself into a defensive stance. Your eyes steadily trained on the leering, grey-skinned humanoid. You're startled when the goblin suddenly leaps down from the tree, limberly lands on his feet, and bounds off into the forest, moving at a pace you'll be hard-pressed to match. The wretched creature will soon be out of sight, so I can pursue the fleeing goblin or decide to let him go. Once again, I shall turn to random.org. Apparently, I'm pursuing the goblin. You take off after the fleeing goblin, eager to get your hands on the creature that seemed prepared to ambush you only moments ago. Picking a number, bonus of 50. 20 from woodmanship, 10 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from spirit. Success, got to get 75 or more, or it gets away, pick now. 138, success. Despite his incredible prowess at navigating the difficult terrain, you manage to overtake the goblin. Ah, because Shacropington just leaps ahead. Lunging at him from behind and a little bit above. You bonk onto its back, knock it onto the ground. Ray frantically squirms in a desperate bid to escape, to slip from your grasp, because also used a little bit of elementalism to make herself much, much heavier. Because at normal weight, she could easily be knocked off. Don't know quite how she did that. Right, what would you use to make yourself heavier? Elementalism, perhaps? Just imbue yourself with earthiness? Shadow magic could probably do it, because shadow magic can freaking do anything, nearly. Or maybe just telekinesis. Yes, I just push myself down. As if I weigh a lot. Yeah, maybe telekinesis. He's frantically squirms in a desperate bid to slip from your incredibly heavy weight. You struggle to control and subdue the thrashing goblin, all the while mindful of his teeth and claws. Picking a number. Bonus of 59. 19 from unarmed combat, 20 from might, 10 from body, 10 from agility. Got to get 75 or more, or it will manage to squirm away. Pick now. 147, success. While holding down the struggling goblin, you hurriedly determine how you will attempt to glean some information from him. So I can demand an explanation. Ask nicely for an explanation. Soften him up with a few blows, or decide to let him go. You know, I'm just going to ask nicely first. Ask nicely for an explanation. Doing your best to ensure the goblin, you mean him no harm. Well, maybe a little bit, but not much. You ask him what he was doing in the vicinity of the digging skeletons, and why he was attempting to ambush you, picking a number. Bonus of 40. 20 from diplomacy, 10 from mind, 10 from spirit. Got to get 100 or more. This is a pretty tough check. We'll just see how it goes. Pick now. 138. Success. That's nearly as well as it could possibly have gone. I just happened to hit upon the exact what things that the goblin actually cared about. Your efforts to try and get the goblin to talk pay off. At last, perhaps worn down by persistence. And maybe having come to realise the precariousness of the situation, Or maybe, you know, just stick, or maybe just, you know, having some fellow feeling with fellow green things. The foul creature seems ready to talk, slowly, as if every syllable he mutters is some sort of punishable offence. He begins to tell you what you want to know. The cave goblin. Wait, he's got cave goblins green? Yep. Wait, it never actually says what colour the goblins are here. It never says in this lore book entry what colour the goblins are. I mean, I'm just assuming green, because that's what most goblins in media are green. But I mean, they could be any other colour. They could be luminous pink. They could be luminous pink. They could be blue with purple polka dots. I mean, it doesn't say they're not. I mean, it seems weird, but it could happen. The cave goblin, speaking in short, breathless bursts, tells you that he was watching over the skeletons that were digging at the base of the tree. Yearn is in the employ of a necromancer, whose name he claims he is unable to divulge. Yeah, right, that seems possible. I mean, necromancers tend not to give away their names. Because, I mean, names have powers, and also they're doing super illegal stuff, and they don't want to be tracked down. When you press him on the spellcaster's name, he tells you he does not know it. "Master keeps many secrets," he grumbles, his cruel eyes fixing with an icy glare. "He controls the dead to do his bidding. He sent them here to find something that was buried." You ask the goblin if the wooden box you saw the skeletons unearth was what was being sought. He immediately shakes his head and says he does not know. "Only the master's wizened dead know what it is," he says. "I only had to make sure they stuck to the task." When several of your inquiries are met with silence, becomes obvious the goblin no longer wishes to furnish you with any further information. So, I've got two options here. Ask the goblin why he tried to ambush you, or just stop questioning him. You know what, I'm going to ask why. Although I suspect it was, so I don't tattle. Upon hearing your question, the goblin seems uncomfortable and closes his eyes for several moments. Then, as his eyelids slowly creep open, he tells you he was ordered to make sure no one interfered with the search. "Master has many enemies," he says, as his eyes slowly creep open. "Master has many, many enemies who would do him harm and ruin his plans. I could not take a chance. You may yet prove to be one of Master's foes." I mean, there's a pretty decent chance of that, since, necromancer, and the overwhelming majority of necromancers that I've met have turned out to be bad guys, or be definitely leaning heavily in the bad guy direction. Admittedly, there's Mulimnir. Now, he's a necromancer and on the side of good, and incredibly cool and sexy, but he's the exception. Realising you're not likely to get anything further out of him, you hurriedly decide upon your next course of action. So I can let him go, render him unconscious, or just kill him, because, you know, goblin. Most of the time, goblins are bad, are the ones we meet. Although, Matt, maybe that's just because we don't really give them any chance to be anything else. What the heck, I'll let him go. As the force behind the goblin's struggling seems to lessen, you let go of his shoulders and spring out of the way, allowing the fierce creature to regain his feet. When I sprang, I'm no longer heavy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without warning, the goblin springs up and savagely sinks his teeth into your shoulder. No! No, I'm a toad, not a frog. I'm not that tasty. You silly boy. Or girl. Or non-binary. Hard to tell with goblins. You cry out in agony, releasing your grip on the goblin as a torrent of blood spills from the ragged wound. 46 damage. Okay. Take that. Show mercy. Show a bit of mercy. And you get bitten. Gah. It's almost, but not quite enough to make you reconsider showing mercy in the future. But not quite. Grunting loudly, his face smeared with your blood, the goblin leaps to his feet and immediately dashes off into the forest, swiftly disappearing amidst the dense foliage. With the goblin now gone, you clutch at the painful reminder of its savagery as you cautiously survey the surrounding forest and curse your misfortune. Despite not having gotten answers to the pressing questions that remained at the thaw of your thoughts, you're thankful to survive your encounter with the desperate and deadly creature. After taking a few moments to tend to your wound and check over your equipment, you turn and head back towards the road. As you retrace your steps, moving out of the forest and back towards the road, you come upon the remains of the skeletons you defeated. Wait a minute, I only defeated one skeleton. There, lying on the ground amidst the heaps of scattered bones, is the cloth sack into which you saw one of the disguised undead place a small wooden box. Okay, I guess things have just converged here and the game hasn't made dozens of tiny variations of all the various ways you could end up here. I mean, okay, it makes sense. Or I could say, guess you could say not getting noticed by them is, right, but I didn't even know there were skeletons. Although I guess after, I didn't know there were skeletons at the time, but after I met the goblin I knew there were skeletons. You take possession of the sack and discover it indeed contains the small wooden box. After studying the box for several moments, you carefully remove its lid. I guess this box has to be there for the next scene to play out. Alright, the box contains a triangular black gem, the glittering stone, no bigger than your thumbnail. Okay, probably, no wait. No, Sir Croakington's small, so no bigger than your... Then your arm, upper arm. No bigger than your hand or something. quivers slightly every now and again, so I can take the gem or decide against taking it. If I hadn't used my one Neville reserve before, I could use that. But I did, so I can't. So I'm just going to take the gem. I'm pretty sure it'll probably hurt, but I'll take it anyway. Alright, got a black gemstone. You discovered this glittering black gemstone inside a wooden box at the forest north of the ruins of Stone Gap. Every now and again, the gem seems to quiver. There, just did it. The instant you take possession of the gem, the shadows around you lengthen, enveloping you in a dense, unnatural pile of gloom. Shadow magic user, perhaps? You turn and look upon me. This is a deep, sinister voice to your left. You need not fear. Then perhaps you should consider not having a sinister voice? Although, admittedly, maybe that's just your natural voice and it's kind of hard to move your voice away from that. Slowly, still clutching the black gem in your closed hand, you turn in the direction of the voice. The vague, translucent silhouette of a robed figure hovers within arm's reach of you. The eerie spectre, its face a blur of churning black strands of gloom, nods and extends its white arm. Only a fluttering wisp of shadow exists where its hand should be. Take my hand, and let me bring balance to what began when you acquired the stone, he says, his sinister voice, invoking a vague, unsettling feeling. You will not again be asked. So, there's three options. Well, two for me. Use divination. Divination has to be 70 plus. And it requires a Neville reserve, so Crokington can't do it. So apparently, you've kind of got to shoot. So if you want to see all the Neville reserve options, all the divination options in this quest, you have to play through it multiple times. That's just how it works. So do I reach out for the apparition's hand or not? I'll reach out for the hand. I mean, I do have... There's quite a lot of good things have happened when I've reached out for spooky things' hands. Admittedly, that's mostly in the battlegrounds, but still. Reach out for the apparition's hand. You reach towards the apparition's extended hand, only to have your fingers pass right through the wisp of shadow that seems to serve as the appendage. Believing you failed to do what was asked, you promptly withdraw your hand, only surprised by the grim phantom's next words. And so you've done as much as any living soul can hope to do for one trapped as I am, mumbles the deep, sinister voice. Do not fear to examine the dark. Not all that hides from the light is wicked. Okay. Maybe it's just sound sinister. Because of racism. Okay, and anyway, 2048 experience to general. And that's usually a sign that you've done something you should have done. In the wake of the apparition's disappearance, you feel ill at ease among the trees of the forest. It almost seems as if you've unseen eyes are hawkishly watching your every move. After making certain you're still in possession of the black gem, you prepare to set off on your way. As you make your way out of the forest, and are soon again standing on the road that passes through the outskirts of Stone Gap. A wary survey in both directions along the desolate stretch seems to confirm that you are, thankfully, alone. With no desire to linger here, you prepare at once to set out from the ruined town, eager to put this recent and unsettling event out of mind. At least for now. And you also get 256 experience to general for finishing this adventure. So you get a lot more experience for in the middle than you do at the end. Which is odd. Odd for adventures, because in most of them, the bulk of experience happens at the end. I guess it depends how you classify an adventure. And also, we haven't seen the end of all the adventures. Alright, that's the end of the adventure anyway. Was anything new unlocked by doing that? No. Do I still have that gem? Black gemstone. Yes, I still have the black gemstone. Okay, I'm going to see if there's any other options this could have taken that would be interesting. Yeah, I've looked at the adventure on the wiki. It looks like this adventure kind of just that has all these options. It doesn't actually branch out into a zillion different options. It's not like the lone wild adventure in the tavern in Hawklore, where there's several completely different ways that it can end up, depending on the choices you make. Or, most likely, you end up missing that adventure entirely. Because you just click the wrong option when you first meet the guys. The end you do get. In the end, you find the box. You may or may not have fought skeletons 2-4. You may or may not have killed the goblin. You may have been fooled by the goblin. You may not have been fooled by the goblin. It may have caught you in its noose. It might not have. But in the end, you find the box. Even if apparently you just let the skeletons, which didn't even look like skeletons at the time, get past. Yeah, but even if the skeletons do get past, you still find the box. I don't know, maybe the magic ran out. Or maybe you just forgot that you didn't fight them and just suddenly remembered, decided actually you did fight them. And then they remember that they actually were fought, and so decide to be dead again. Or something like that. Anyhow. It breaks down into two. Either you can take the gem or not. If you leave the gem, that just ends the adventure. And then you can decide, do you take the guy's hand? Who is this guy? I don't know. But apparently he's a bit good and a little bit evil, according to a divination check. And apparently the gem is faintly evil. The world figure wants you to take his hand to bring balance. It's all a bit of an adventure that's somehow hints that there's more going on, but you're never really told what more going on is. Yes, it's a bit strange adventure, but anyhow, we're past. We're about nearly 37 minutes now, so should I let it? Okay. Well, anyway, what are we going to do next? Okay, I'm gonna look if there's more adventures in Southeast Isa. Right, there's one thing I might not have got. I'm gonna look around, and if I've not got it, I'll I'll be back. Yeah. I've just gone through the summaries of previous episodes and confirmed, yep, that is the thing. The thing I was looking for, which was meeting Irok the Brave in Graudok. That is something that I've done, that Sir Crokinton has already done. So, there's nothing to do in the north. Just going to check again. Okay, I'm going to have a spar with Barnibor, who is a tough, who's a very strong adventurer who just hangs out in the battlegrounds. I'm going to spar with him. After you talk with Zurim, you can meet up with him. Spar with Barnibor. Barnibor will be you'll be engaging the master warrior adventure Barnibor in a non-lethal contest at arms. Please be sure to read the following list of Geralt lines before continuing. You may attempt to spar with Barnibor every 2 hours until you defeat him. So if I can still try, that means I haven't defeated him with Sir Crokinton yet. The 2 hour time between spar attempts may increase depending on how many times you sparred with Barnibor. No magic may be used during this combat. No items. Items may be used during this combat. Automatic special items, special attacks and abilities, those which occur at random, are allowed. So I'm guessing you could somehow use that to get yourself an advantage. So anyway, let's continue to spar with Barnibor. With Zurim looking on from the far side of the overgrown field, you prepare to engage Barnibor, the master warrior and fellow adventurer, bows respectfully as the contest begins, and quickly draws himself into defensive stance. "Come on then, Sir Crokinton," he says, grinning. "Let's give old Zurim a show. It's Barnibor the Undaunted. This is non-lethal combat, so a lot of options are closed to you. But it does mean we're both going all out. So I do a lot more damage than if I'm not attempting to kill, but the other guy is. Neither you nor your enemy are attempting to kill. Okay, I'm just going to fight aggressively. You swing your club. Barnibor exhales sharply as he slashes at you with his broadsword. Barnibor smashes you with a heavy blow. He smashes you with another heavy blow for 30 and another. And then one for 23. Okay, I'm going to use my quickstone 20s. Another special for 31. Yeah, he does a lot of damage. Another special for, he can absorb damage? Where would that happen? Okay. I think this is more luck based or having a lot of stats. Smashes you with a heavy blow. Yeah, if I could get into a battle wage, this would really help. Heavy blow for 39 damage. Why can't I absorb any of the damage? Okay, he's nearly down. Very, very close, very close. Oh, it's so close. Defeated! He is defeated! Do 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 do. 4,096 experience to general and 1,024 experience to all skills and powers. You reach down and help Barnibor to his feet. Despite having been severely battered, he has suffered no permanent damage. He groans as he regains his footing and promptly congratulates you on your victory. "Fine showing, my friend," he says, clutching at his ribs and gasping for breath. "I dare say I don't think I've ever quite been hit with as much force as you're able to muster. And I've very rarely been hit with as much force as you're able to muster." I mean, there was that dragon. The dragon hits with more force. But the dragons are dragons, so that's understandable. And that includes a few ogres and trolls that have managed to snap some of our bones. You speak at length with Barnabore and learn of some of his more recent adventurings. While relating to him some of yours. He tells you he hopes that one day the two of you might share an adventure. You know what, that would be nice. To think of the trouble the pair of us might get ourselves into, he says, grinning. Oh well, perhaps it will come to be. Well, I guess that's up to the GM, or maybe the mysterious VWK, who could also write that adventure. Or anyone else that the GM gets to sub in. I mean, there's no reason it just has to be VWK. I mean, presumably other people could be brought in. After conversing with him for the better part of an hour, you bid him farewell and once again set off on your way. Alright, let's seek him out again. Yeah, he's talking about the contest of blades, which is where you can have PvP in this game, but it's only happened 3 times in the entire history of the game. And you can speak with Barnabore. Here's his lore book entry. Barnabore the Undaunted. Barnabore is one of the most illustrious adventurers and warriors of the current age. Perhaps second only to Thrymback. And maybe one adventurer whose name we need not mention. It's us. Though long considered to be an outlaw enticer, due to his known associations with several powerful and unscrupulous characters, Barnabore has since mended his ways, and recently played his debt to the kingdom by way of a lengthy stint in the dungeons of Seer. Since his regaining his freedom, the imposing black-bearded warrior has been involved in several grand adventures, and has begun to restore his name and his image, both of which were tarnished due to his previous associations. Speak with Barnabore. Barnabore rises and meets you in a shoulder cross. I hope you haven't come to give me another thrashing, he says, laughing. I'll be far from the truth that I still wasn't hurting for the last go round. I don't think there's a man or beast fit to challenge you on the isle. See how others have fared. 446 of the 1,414 adventurers who have sparred with Barnabore have been able to defeat him. Yep, so. Sir Croakington defeated Barnabore in 35 rounds, which makes her round a very long one. Because, I mean, I've got people with 13 rounds. Anyone longer? I mean, presumably there's someone longer. It's a very long list. But I'm not seeing any. Asterba Jones is also 35 rounds. Honestly, that's not worth looking up. Yeah, anyhow. Converse with Barnabore. Yeah, it just says what he says before. Okay, I think that's enough of that for now. So, next time, I think we'll look into exploring the Batcave. But first, while Sir Croakington has started off that adventure, that was so long ago I kind of forgot how it happens. So I'm going to start the adventure with another character and then finish it with Sir Croakington. so we get the full story. Or at least that's what I think will happen. If I forget, then you'll just finish it. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.